Welcome to Restoration Church, located in Goleta, California. To learn more about us, please visit r-church.org. To watch our service or join us via live stream, check out our YouTube channel by searching Restoration Church Goleta.
All right, as you're heading back to your seats, if you would turn to Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 3. That's on page 948 in the Pew Bibles. And so what I mean by that is if you don't know your way around the Bible, we have the page numbers so you're able to find where we're going. Those page numbers are in the Bibles that are in front of you. If you don't have a Bible, please take that Bible home. That is our gift to you. And I'd like to introduce Silas to come up for the reading of God's Word.
Is it on? Okay. Please turn to page 948 in your pew Bibles. We're all there? Okay. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. This is the word of the God, word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Bow your heads, we're going to pray. Lord, thank you for another Sunday that we may come and rest. I pray as we get to know more about you and the grace you've given to us, that we'll not lower our heads, but raise it in zeal and love for one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. My name is Bobby. I'm one of the pastors here, and I get the privilege to preach the word this morning. We have been in a series where we have been talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this one in particular, I'm titling it Hands, because we're going to be talking about serving, helping, and mercy. Serving, helping, and mercy. What is church according to the Bible? It is a gathering of people who believe in Jesus to listen and learn from scriptures about what it means to find and follow Jesus. This is done by seeing truths about God, opening up the Bible and teaching, encouraging, exhorting, and serving one another in love so that we may be sent out into our world to bless others. So we come here to encourage, to exhort, to learn, and to grow, not just so that we can be a holy huddle or a Christian bubble, but so that we can then go out into the world and be, according to Genesis 12, fulfillment of being children of Abraham, a blessing to the nations. What a privilege we have. That as Christians, we get to go and be a part of God's will and design throughout the world. And it starts within this idea of church. Hebrews 10 says this, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering." Number one, we see the confession of our hope being the gospel of Jesus and the word of God without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. We are one day closer to Jesus returning than yesterday, amen? The day is drawing near. And so the exhortation, the commands, the imperatives of Scripture are, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. In other words, staying true to this biblically centered gospel of Jesus Christ without wavering. Why? Because he who promised is faithful. God is faithful, amen? Man, he's so faithful. Let us sing. Gosh, That's why we sing of his steadfast love and faithfulness. Like there's a certain amount of like things happen when we sing as a people. You guys know that, right? Like we were just going through in our prayer groups talking about how the children of Israel were coming up to battle, a battle that was going to be, well, the odds were against them. And God just says, sing. Sing what? Sing of his steadfast love and faithfulness. And when they did, the armies were confused so much so that they fought each other. And just like that scene in Lord of the Rings, when he's got one little sword and he's going up to save, Sam is going up to save the ring bearer, and there's hundreds of org, if you like, and they end up fighting each other so much so that there was only a few left. And so he was able to have the victory. See, when we sing, that's what our God does. We hold fast. We proclaim his faithfulness. And in doing so, we get to know one another and stir up one another to love and good works. Stir up one another to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together. See, to build up, as we've been talking about throughout this whole spiritual gift series, to increase the potential of somebody. See, church is about you being about others. Let me say that again. Church is about you, because I wanted to say church isn't about you. That was my inclination. I don't know why. Maybe it's just that gift of exhortation. Because in one sense, it's not, but it is about you, but it's about you being about others. There's a difference. Church is about you being about others, to increase the potential of someone, to live into their God-given purpose. It is centered on Jesus and others focused. Why? Because the Bible is. We gather on the first day of the week because Jesus rose again on that great and glorious Easter Sunday. We put our money where our heart is and support the local church. Thus, we take an offering as an act of worship and response to God's grace. We greet one another because the Bible says we are family. We love each other because God loves us. There is a built-in reliance on one another because the Bible says that together we are like a body, one body with many parts. 1 Corinthians 12 says this up on the screen. God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they are all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. Listen to this. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. If you've been through our membership class, you've heard this before, but I thought it was important to read this in this context. You see, because at the end of the day, as a church, we can say, I don't need you. Like, we have that option. But the reality of who we are and where God has placed us within the body of Christ makes it seem like he's basically being sarcastic. It's like, how can your eye say to your hand, I don't need you? It makes no sense based on who you are. And in the preface of the book, What is a Healthy Church? By Mark Dever, Jonathan Lehman writes this silly example. Nose in hand, we're sitting in the church talking. The morning service led by ear and mouth had just ended. Hand was telling Nose that he and his family had decided to look for a different church. Really? Nose responded to Hand's news. Why? Oh, I don't know, Hand said, looking down. He was usually slower to speak than the other members of the church body. I guess because the church doesn't have what Mrs. Hand and I are looking for. Well, what are you looking for in a church? Nose asked. The tone in which he spoke the words was sympathetic, but even as he was speaking, to them, he knew that he would dismiss Hand's answers. If Hands couldn't see that Nose and the rest of the leadership were pointing in the right direction, then he could do without him. Had had to think before answering. He and Mrs. Hand liked Pastor Mouth and his family, and Minister of Music Ear meant well. Well, I guess we're looking for a place where people are more like us, Hand finally stammered. We tried spending time with the legs, but we didn't connect with them. Next, we joined the small group for the toes, but that just didn't interest us. Then we attended the Sunday school for all the facial features. Do you remember? We came for several Sundays a couple months ago, and it was great to have you. He said, thank you, but everyone just wanted to talk and listen and smell and taste. It felt like you never wanted to get to work and get your hands dirty. Anyway, Mrs. Hand and I were thinking about going to the new church over on the east side. We hear they do a lot of clapping and hand raising, which is closer to what we need right now. Nose replied. I see what you mean. We'd hate to see you go, but I guess you have to do what's good for you. At that moment, Mrs. Hand, who had been caught up in another conversation, came to join her husband and Nose. Hand briefly explained what he and Nose had been talking about, after which Nose repeated his sadness at the prospect of losing the hands. Mrs. Hand nodded in agreement. She wanted to be polite, but truth be told, she wasn't sad to be leaving. Her husband had made just enough critical remarks over the years that her heart began to reflect his. No, he had never burst into an open tirade against the body. In fact, he usually apologized for, quote unquote, being so negative, as he called it. But the little complaints that he let out here and there had an effect. The small groups were a little cliquish. The music was a little out of date. The teaching wasn't entirely to their liking. In the end, it was hard for them to put their fingers on it. Sorry. Just making sure you're with me. It was hard for them to put their fingers on it, but they decided that the church wasn't for them. In addition to all that, Mrs. Hand knew that her daughter, Pinky, was not comfortable with the youth group. Everyone was so different to her, she felt out of joint. I feel like, Robert, I need you up there going, don't do it. Mrs. Hand then said something about how much she appreciated Nose and the leadership, but the conversation had already run too long for Nose. He thanked Mrs. Hand for her encouragement, repeated that he was sorry to see them go, then turned and walked away. Who needed the hands anyway? Apparently, they didn't need him. Church is about you being about others. When it is solely about you, you end up getting things wrong, like this silly but sad story I just read. In Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 3, it says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith God has assigned." See, the imperative here is not to think too highly of yourself, but to think with sober judgment. But as we know from Scripture, the imperatives of the commands of Scripture are always anchored in these amazing truths of Scripture known as indicatives. Look at verse 4. "For as in one body we are many members, and the members do not have all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." See, church is about you being about others, and those gifted with hands get it. The indicative is that we are one body, but I want you to focus in at the very end of chapter 12, verse 5. And individually, what's it say there? Members of, you got to look at your Bible to say it. That we are individually members of one another. Is that not crazy? That because of the gospel that I talked about during pardon, that God has saved us and put us in the body of Christ. So much so, so interconnected, that we are actually members of one another. And the purpose of that body is the most glorious purpose ever given to mankind. To see a heart changed from death to life. To be able to see dead bones, dry bones, get flesh on them, and the breath of God bring life into a soul. This is our purpose. And as we work together in the body of Christ and realize the truths of who we are in Christ, then we see that potential increase more and more. Friday was a long day. I had started it a little before 7 for prayer, early morning, got here at prayer, and towards the end of the day, I was ready to pack it up when one of our pastors, Paul Wilson, showed up ready to work. See, he was there to put some trim on the new cabinets in our remodeled kids area. By the way, if you haven't seen it, it is looking spectacular. Because he has a heart to serve, even though I was ready to throw in the towel for the day, it encouraged me to keep on keeping on. And here's the crazy thing, we finished it. Come on now. Like, it still needs some decor and things like that, but I mean, if you walk in there, it is a finished classroom, ready to go. And what's cool is it just reminded me, because I truly believe that Pastor Paul has the gift of service and help. And he came in and he was like, and even though, I don't know if he noticed or not, but I could tell I was like, kind of like, yeah, that looks good and you should do that. And I was kind of like trying to get my foot out the door because I wanted to go home. I was exhausted. And he, I don't want to say passive aggressively, but ended up having me stay there. And here was the crazy thing is that I all of a sudden felt so empowered and so energized as I got over myself. I ended up staying until like 8 o'clock, 8:30 or something like that. Just, I'm not boasting, I'm not bragging. I'm thanking Paul for the encouragement of being a hand and coming alongside me and increasing my potential. This is also the case with Naz, who helps us lead worship. We would not even gotten to that point if he hadn't come and helped during the week. He works crazy, crazy hours. And then still comes, helps lead worship, put together the set, does practices, and then still shows up to do work. Or his wife, Jen, who puts together our worship each and every week, faithfully. Or Rick and Juanita, who are here with others to serve our city with mercy, to provide food for those in need as we served the food bank and handed out food here. Or Robert, who selflessly went to Diane Hearn's house and planted some trees for her. Or those who come here to pray throughout the week. Or John, who faithfully collects the recycle that you guys bring every single week to help fund areas in our church. Or Diane, his wife, who serves, showers a blessing in other areas in town and is known for her, she's known countywide for her hugs. I've talked to the people, homeless people, stuff like that, that know Diane all over the county. And within a minute or two of the description, they'll say, oh, the one that gives amazing hugs. See, church is about you being about others. And when we step into that, when we, one, realize it, and two, begin to step into that, there is an crazy amount, just like me doing caulking and baseboard and trying to do paint touch-up to get this room ready. There's like a strengthening or an empowering that comes from the Holy Spirit, but we got to get over ourselves and step. Step. Realize who you are, what your gifts are. In 1 Peter 4, it says this, as each has received a gift. So if you're here and you're a Christian, you're not sure if you received a gift, just know you have received a gift. Just don't know what it is yet, and it's okay. It's okay. We'll help you, and I'll actually give you some encouragement a little bit later in the sermon, but as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Oh, Siri looked up 1 Peter for me. That was awesome. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Let me just turn this off. Oh, well. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And what you see in that verse is, one, we've received a gift. One, we use it to serve one another. And then we see that there's different varied gifts to speak, speaking the oracles of God, serve as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that what? To the glory of God and our joy. And if you know that, okay. Will you hold this for me? Just turn it off. Thanks. For those of you online that are watching, my watch kept talking to me, which is not a good time when you're trying to preach. So all of this, as we begin to understand who we are, what Christ has done, and then begin to move in the gifts that God has given us, what comes about is that amazing, almost undescribable feeling about like being a part of something that's greater than yourself, that you're in line with God's design. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Something to that. And what I'm learning about the gifts as we've been studying this for a few weeks now, there's a calling for all of us to be involved in most of the gifts. And here's what I mean. Like last week, all of us won't have the gift of prophecy, but we are all called to listen to God for direction. Not all of us are going to be prophets or even prophesy. There's a distinction between the office of prophet and those that can prophesy. We see that all throughout Scripture. But we're not all going to have that because the Apostle Paul says, hey, there's going to be some variation in the gifts that God gives. But all of us as Christians, we are called to listen to God for direction. Because the Bible doesn't always address whether you go right or left. And sometimes we need to get wisdom from others, prayer, and listen to God. And we can, by all means, get a word from the Lord. Not all will have the gift of teaching, but we are all called to teach each other about how to follow Jesus. It's called discipleship. And not all of us will have the gift of serving, helping, and mercy, yet all Christians are called to serve, to help, and be merciful. Amen? So let's define these gifts. Serving, or ministry, as the King James would say it. And it says in 1 Peter, it's a gift. And how do we do it? By God's strength. It's a scripture that we just read. If you could go back one, John, just to show that. Okay, so this is in 1 Peter, that in serving, the one who serves by the strength that God supplies in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And so it's a gift. We see, one, that serving is a gift. And two, how do we do it? By God's strength. And what's its end? God's glory. Now, to define serving, it says this. This comes right out of the Greek New Testament. For definitions, to render assistance or help by performing certain duties, often of a humble, menial nature. It is people-orientated. And what I mean by that is the word serving there comes from the word deacon. Like that's the root word is deacon. And we see examples of what it looks like to serve. For instance, when the apostles were trying to figure out write Jesus' words down and figure out what it looks like to be the church and all these different things. They had some issues with some widows that were complaining they weren't getting enough food and there's some partiality going on. And so Peter says, hey, we need to go and move in our giftings, which is the establishment of the word of God and prayer as we lead this ship. So we need somebody to step up and help in this area. And Stephan and a few others stepped into this area. I say Stephan because the Greek is Stephanos, and I like Stephan better, but Stephen, for all of you that like to read it in the English. And so he gets raised up with like Philip and others, and we see, well, who are they serving? They're serving people. And deacons are called to do the same thing, to serve the people and the body of Christ. The Greek word, again, is the idea of deacon, a servant with a love for serving people. And then we see the gift of helping. In 1 Corinthians 12:28. It says, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, prophets, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administering, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. And what we see here is the word, the Greek word there, helping, is a different word. And so we kind of see it as a distinct thing. And a few of the books that I read say this. Helping is the ability or capacity to help or assist, but it is task-orientated. It is task-orientated. And for all the introverts out there, you guys are like, yes, that's for me. Because there's that idea of like just doing things around the church. Like Randy reminds me of an awesome, even though he is one of our deacons and serves people amazingly. But he'll also come here and just do yard work around just because. And he just does tasks and serves. And there's I could go down a list, but for time's sake, I'll just kind of keep going here. So we see helping, the ability or capacity to help or assist, it's task-orientated, and then we see mercy. Look back to our text this morning, Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. And then our last one for this morning, the one who does acts of mercy with what? Cheerfulness. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. The mercy, to define it, says to show kindness or concern for someone in serious need. It is people and task orientated towards the hurting. Towards the hurting. And again, I have boasted about Diane often, but I truly believe she has the gift of mercy. Because she's able to approach and hug people some of us wouldn't even touch. And she does it with joy. She glows when she does it. That's why she's known countywide for her hugs. And so, if you look at these, serving, helping, and mercy, one is people-orientated. You come underneath and serve people to help other people accomplish their tasks, kind of alleviate some of the things. That's where deacons or serving kind of came in, is that people are around me so I can do what only I can do. And people fill in the gap in other areas. And we do that for each other. We do that for each other. And then helping, having that task orientation, and then mercy, people and task orientated towards the hurting. So it does beg the question, which one are you? Well, if you're not sure, one book I read, the best way to know your gift is to jump in and start serving. Just jump in and start serving. Whether it be within the local church or with something outreach orientated in our county, that kind of the big umbrella that your call to fulfill is, will it be a blessing to the nations? In other words, will Goleta be a better place because you serve? Will Santa Barbara and the people of it be better served because you're involved? And to be a blessing. And as you do, as you begin to serve, your inclination towards certain things, along with others speaking into your life, will show you how God has gifted you. And as a testimony, this is how I became a pastor. Like, I got radically saved. I had no idea what I was doing. Like, I had none. Like, I barely knew the word. I wasn't necessarily raised as a Christian. I didn't know Father Abraham's song. Like, I just not something I grew up with. Like, I just didn't know those things. And so when I started to jump it, like when I got radically saved, I mean, it was just a massive transformation. And I used to go, I remember I met up with another friend of mine that used to party, and we kind of held each other accountable. And we, just to keep our noses clean, we'd go to like a community group or a Bible study every single night of the week somewhere on the island. We'd find somewhere to go because we had to. And all of it was like new to me. And as I began to jump in, I started to serve in various places. And guess what people started to say to me? You have a gift of teaching. You have a gift of, like, when you're in community group, some of the things you say have a pastoral wisdom about it. You should consider being a pastor. And so, okay. So I prayed about it, and through God's providence and design, here I am. But it was because a willingness to jump in to serve, and then the people of God coming alongside of me, sharing. Because every once in a while, you're going to be like, I have the gift of teaching. And then someone might say, maybe not so much. And that's okay. And that's okay. Because God has designed us each individually, distinctively, but to again come together as a whole. See, church is about you being about others. Church is about you being about others. Why? Because that's what it means to follow Jesus. That's what it means to follow Jesus. It says in Matthew 20:28, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to what, church? But to serve. And give his life a ransom for many. You see, the gospel in and of itself speaks to the idea that it isn't about us. It's about us being built up so that we can be about others. Why? Because that's how Jesus lived his life, for others. He came to this earth and lived the life we couldn't perfectly because he knew we couldn't. He was the greatest rescue. He is our hero. Like it's Jesus. Can I make a big deal about Jesus? Is that okay? Because he's kind of a big deal if you haven't heard. Like Jesus came and like every step he took, every word he said, every thought he had, he fulfilled the law of God for me. Wow. So I don't have to go from being saved, like being guilty in my sin and then repent and come to belief in Christ and then enter back into the law again. No, I now live life by the Spirit, by the perfect law of liberty, it's called in James. And they were, I'm able to live freely to the glory of God and my joy because Jesus did it all. And as we follow, thank you. Come on, somebody's with me. All right. And as we do this, as we jump in and begin to serve, ultimately all we're doing, all we're asking, all the scriptures are saying is follow Jesus and his example. Start serving somewhere. And the Holy Spirit will show you what your specific gifting and calling is within the local body of Christ, within the larger body of Christ. That is the gospel, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and rose again. See, church is about you being about others. We give our lives to what Jesus gave his life for, the church, which is a gathering of people who believe in Jesus, to listen and learn from the scriptures about what it means to find and follow Jesus. This is done by singing truths about God, opening the Bible and teaching, encouraging, exhorting, and serving one another in love so that we may be sent into the world to bless others. Hands, we need you. We need you. We do spirit fingers? That was her fault if that was corny. If the band could come up, let me pray for us. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we thank you that you have placed us within the body of Christ. That not only did you give us a purpose that is way beyond we could think or imagine, but you gave us a role within that and an interconnectivity where we get the idea of like fellowship and these kind of Christianese words where it's like, no, because the Holy Spirit dwells in you and the Holy Spirit dwells in me, and we're connected to one another because of God. And so, Lord, would you help us to live into that purpose and that calling? And for those that have the gift to serve, to help, and to have mercy, if they have one or if they have all three, Lord, I pray that they would walk in the power that you have granted them, that they would step and feel that power as they desire to serve. And Lord, would you help us to not grow weary of doing good? We pray these things in Jesus' name. All God's people said, yes. Amen. The culmination of all this is communion, where we have tables on the right and left-hand side, and there's pastors there that will administer the communion for you. The bread represents the body broken. The juice represents the blood spilled, which ultimately wraps up in this idea of a new covenant. Now, if you're here and you're not a Christian, I'd ask that you wouldn't take communion. If you're here and you are a Christian and you haven't examined yourself before you approach the table, then just wait. We got two songs. Spend that time to do so. And then for both of those, if you're not saved, if you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, or if you need prayer, these guys will be able to pray for you. You're invited to the table to believe and receive the forgiveness of God through the gospel. Amen. Amen. Please stand as we respond in worship.
Thanks for listening in. If you have any questions or need prayer, send us an email at info@r-church.org. Grace and peace.